in our lives. Have we ever heard before, "I'm going to make an example out of you"? We've heard that, right? I think I'm going to make an example out of him or her. But you know, the unique thing about that is really God's word never says that and implies it that fashion. It says, "I've left you an example." Or look at the mistakes these people have made, or look at the faith of these people as an example. And as we begin, you know, this last week was the first lesson of the year, obviously a new year, and we continue on in a new year. For us to consider things in the New Testament, God's holy word, that help us focus on being an example. Not that we may be made an example of in a negative manner, but a positive manner. You know, this passage of scripture, I think the first year I was here, how long have I been here, DC? You don't know? A couple years. It's been a couple, going on 2 years, 3 years. I don't know. Three?
I looked at it a few months ago.
You told me a while back, you said, "This is your first lesson." I'm like, "Boy, I've been here longer than I thought." Anyways, within the first, one of the Sunday evening lessons I preached was on washing feet. And used that passage. Brother Brad, you remember that? I hope you do, because you really gave me one of the best compliments I've had, and I remember that. But, see, he forgot it, so I'm going to preach that lesson all over again. No, I'm just kidding. This passage, Jesus says, "Do you know what I've done to you?" And of course, what kind of question is that for Jesus, the disciples? He just washed their feet. And that's to us like, I'm trying to compare it. How many of us like clean the toilets? Huh? I'm good at it, but how often do I do it? Not enough, as the wife would say, right? It's not my job. Washing feet's not my job, and that's the same way the disciples felt. But yet, Jesus took time out. You know what? He just didn't wash one disciple's feet and say, "This is how you do it." He washed every single one of their feet, even Judas. Even the one that would betray him. We read a passage this morning in Bible class about Moses being one of the humblest people ever to walk right there, at least at that time. Jesus left us an example how to serve one another. Not how to wash feet, because obviously if that's what we're supposed to be doing, we're sadly mistaken. You know? And as my wife knows, and anyway, I won't get into cover up your feet, okay? Our culture has changed a little bit more of that. We wear a lot more sandals from when I grew up. But folks, one of the most stinkiest, rotten things that we have are our feet. You know? I washed a pair of socks that were clean, multiple pair of socks that were clean this week. They're wool socks. Obviously, I wear boots or work boots a lot, so my feet sweat. They stink. My wife can vouch for that. But these socks were clean, and I smell them. I'm like, "Man, I smell like I just took them off again. I'm going to quit wearing these." The crappy socks, bad dish soap or laundry soap, whatever. So we run them through the wash again. And they come out not too bad. I smelled them. I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to try this again." But folks, the nastiest, non-recognizable job you might have been able to do back then, okay, Jesus does. Jesus does. He didn't go sit with the kings, okay? He didn't walk around with a scepter touching people on top of the heads. He just serves. He's doing work. Folks, sometimes we think the kingdom of heaven is touching each other on the head with a scepter. Okay? Or praising each other. Our expectation of leadership is not servantship. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to seek and serve those that were lost. Because that's what he did. Serving them is caring about them. Serving them is showing them love.
You call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, just as I've done to you. Servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Okay, I know we have such a small group, but such a flavor in varieties of types of... What does somebody else's version say instead of blessed? Anybody? Nobody? Happy, maybe? Fortunate? Blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you serve one another. Right? Blessed if you help other people. Folks, what's your plan for this year? What's your plan this week for helping other people? Have you prayed about it? Have you asked God for guidance, for help? Have you looked at it? Now, you people that teach and work in the medical field, you can just go to work and be happy that you're helping people, okay? That's, you know, it's very admirable, by the way. Some of the best helps, you know, just like that. Driving a truck, you're helping people, right? What happens if the farmer stops and the trucker stops working? No food, nobody gets nothing, right? There's no shopping, ladies. Stores are going to be empty, okay? Thank you, trucker. But folks, I say that is, you know, I'm in the building industry. We stop building stuff, obviously I'm going to have to go to trucking or farming. Because I'm going to serve people. But see, stop building, people don't have a place to work. People don't have a place to live. People don't have a place to shop. See? Ladies, all come back to shopping. I'm just kidding you. We like to shop too. We just like to do it in 5 minutes, not 5 hours. But folks, we all serve in ways. And as we serve people, we need to do it like Jesus did. And that is, there's no task below me. Okay? That's your job. That's not my job. That's not my job. You know? And we start out early with that, right? Somebody got to take out the trash. Somebody has to do the dishes, right? Somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to do that. Okay? Now, you can remember back in previous history, at least from what we know, you know, me go hunt. See you later. You take care of cave. You know? We just get to hunt and fish all day. I saw an old deal when an Indian said, white man came and messed up what we had. We hunted and fished all day, and the women took care of the house and the kids, and we come home with a little bit of food and ate and relaxed. We had it good. You guys messed up what we had going on. There was more to that. Because I'll tell you, there was still people issues. There was still children issues. There was still needs to be met. There was still servant activities to serve one another. There was still love banks to be filled. There was still patience to be had. All the qualities and characteristics that we are explained to have examples of in the passages we'll look at this morning still applied back when men were more primitive than what we are today. And that's the truth and the neat thing about God's holy word. I'll remind us again, because I need it's so humbling for me and enthusiating, that's probably a word I just made up, right? Okay, sounds good, don't you? You get the point, but anyways. I get excited to recognize God's word is so truthful that it applies to everybody. Everybody can wash feet. And you notice I'm not looking at the vent when I'm looking. I'm looking at each and every one of us, eye to eye. And if I had a mirror, I'd look at that because I'd be looking back at myself. Every one of us can wash feet. Jesus didn't give us an example that it's only to certain people. Every one of us can serve.
Every one of us can love. Every one of us can be patient with one another. Every one of us can forgive one another. We can be examples for the kingdom of heaven. So we look at our next passage this morning of our lesson, and from 1 Corinthians, beginning in the first verse, chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the Red Sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Now we can say this happened 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, thousands of years ago. But folks, do we still have people lusting after one another, making mistakes today? Do we still have people eating and drinking and getting up and saying, I'm going to go about and do my own thing? I'm going to live for me instead of live for Christ. You know what? Satan loves people that do that. He wants you to live for you instead of for Christ. He wants you to be the Lord and master of yourself instead of being self-controlled and placed under the leadership of the Most High God. But you know, it's easy for me because I don't lust after evil things. You know, I don't have an issue with sexual immorality. I don't tempt Christ. I don't, you know. But gee whiz, do I complain once in a while? I'll be honest with you folks. In this passage right here, there's people in our congregation this morning, we all struggle with something there. If not multiple of those things. That's the reality of it. That's one of the reasons why we've got this passage. To say, hey, don't go down that road. Say no to Satan. Be an example, as the apostles and disciples were, to say no to these things. There's nothing wrong with saying no. There's nothing wrong with saying something is evil. There's nothing wrong with saying, Satan, get behind me. Now, all these things, remember, I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, God didn't say, I'm going to make an example out of you. He says, look at this, that you don't fall in the same trap. These examples. My brethren, join in the following my example. How do we, what, how are we following him? To look for God and look for a way of escape and ask for help. And folks, when we do stumble, repent. Say I'm sorry. Don't let it continue to fester. Don't let guilt stay in your life and hindering you from serving other people. Because you got sin in your life. Because as Brother Brad says in the lesson this morning, as he quoted 1 John, if we say we don't have any sin, we're a liar. And the truth is not in us. But if we hold on to sin and we say it's okay and it's not as bad as what somebody else is doing. Or I wouldn't sin if somebody didn't make me mad. Or I wouldn't sin, God, if you would do this for me. Don't tempt Christ. That's tempting Christ when you start wanting to argue with him and reason it. It's not really reasoning with Christ. It's, you know, you're trying to barter with him. You're tempting him. You're questioning his word on what he says for us to do and how for us to treat each other. So yes, folks, there are things here that we still struggle with in our lives. But we want to make sure that we follow Paul's example. That when we are tempted and we do feel like we're overtaken, one, we don't feel alone. Because there's no new sin out there, folks. Even though with all the electronics and the technology and how smart we think we are, same old sin, same old things. But God is faithful. God is always there, ready to receive you back when we've made a mistake. And when we don't go to him and ask for forgiveness and humbleness, you know, if Moses was one of the humblest people ever to walk the face of the earth, as we read in the Old Testament this morning in Bible class, do you think he asked God for forgiveness? How often, possibly, had he done that? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it is written, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, you know what? That passage, let's read back to our lesson focus. But to make ourselves an example how you should follow us. Follow the disciples. Folks, do we ever run into somebody who's a little bit lazy? Who's a know-it-all, wants to tell everybody else how to do things, but don't do anything themselves? Now, we can... You guys are all looking back at me. What's up with that? Folks, God's holy word says, do not grow weary in doing good. Hang out with people that are going to help you walk in faith. Now that's, you know, folks, we got to pick and choose some things in our lives. I love a lot of people, and I love doing a lot of things, okay? But especially when it comes to worship service, when it comes to studying God's word, gathering with the saints, Verse 15 is one of the hardest things to follow as an example. We struggle with this. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. It's tough to give a holy kiss and to hug someone when you're angry with them. Right? Huh? Come here and give me a hug. I don't want to give you a hug. That happens sometimes right in our homes. Folks, it's nothing new to men. But for an example for us and recognizing the right thing to do is not to count our friends and our family and our co-workers as enemies, even though they may be in sin, but to love them as a brother. That's not right. Now, here's an issue that we might struggle with. We got a brother and sister, or brother or sister, who has sinned. Nobody will talk to them. Everybody avoids them. Is that how you do? Is that how you love someone? You avoid them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Hey, I'm not coming over today because I love you. I don't want to help you today because I love you. I don't want to wash your feet today, but I love you. You know, my mom always said, action speaks louder than words, sons. I can say I love you all I want. But you know what? Something simple like changing light bulbs for Kelly made her happy. Showed her that I love her. Doing the dishes once in a while. Those are things that I think are acceptable. Maybe I need to go even below that and wash some feet. Because Jesus has left us an example. My perception of what to do in my life should come from what Jesus has done. And yet Jesus could count everybody that walked the face of the earth as enemy. Because everybody has sinned against him and his Father in heaven. But yet, he said, I love you. Don't sin anymore. I love you. I love you. I want to help you. I want to serve you. I'm leaving you this example. Don't let pettiness get in the way. Don't let earthly stereotypes get in the way of your faith, of the church. Follow my example. Being a servant and being loving is far more important. Helping other people in relationships, mending relationships, managing relationships so they don't get destroyed. Helping people that are in sin. You know, the whole New Testament is written for Christians, the majority of the time, for Christians that are in sin. Baptized believers. People that saw Jesus and his miracles and his power and listening to him. You know, if I could ever have something on my bucket list, wouldn't it be nice to sit at Jesus' feet? It's coming. I have to be patient. I'm going to be able to do that. And I may sit down in heaven and say, Jesus, tell me a story. And he says, I got something for you to do. Well, doesn't he do the same thing to us today? Jesus, I want you to tell me a story. And he says, I got some stuff I need you to do. I need you to wash some feet. Well, I just wanted to sit and listen. I just wanted to sit and point. I just want to sit and examine everybody else. Jesus said, I want you to wash the feet. First Timothy chapter 4, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. I want to make an example out of all of you this morning. I can't do it. I've got to work on myself. It's something personal I've got to do to follow Jesus. I've got to work on believing in the Word. I've got to work on my conduct. I've got to work on doing things in love. I've got to work on my spirit, my attitude. I've got to rely on God and my faith. I've got to abstain from the things that are evil. I've got to keep myself pure. I've got to keep myself right. How can I be an example if I'm doing this? And Brother Brad, you mentioned that in class this morning. We all struggle with that. Satan wants us to look around and say, I'm glad I'm not like that person. But we have an example of that between the publican and the sinner's prayer, right? That attitude is not an example from the kingdom of heaven and from Jesus. Humility was always a prominent characteristic of those people of good faith, of saving faith, and of Jesus. In James chapter 5, it is written, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, patiently, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Folks, it's hard enough for us to want each other's, wash each other's feet, right? We don't have enough time, otherwise I'd have went to Dollar General and bought little tubs for all of us, and we'd all just took our shoes. Pretty cold day to take shoes and socks off, except for those that wear no socks today. Just. My shoes aren't warm enough for that. It's hard enough to wash each other's feet. And then in James it mentions, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. I don't want to suffer. And folks, one of my struggles in life is being patient with the people I love, people I work with. But you know what? I'm following Jesus. And I know that's what I need to do. I know that it's an example I need to set. I know that there's power in patience. You think about that? Power in suffering? Man, ain't none of us want to suffer. You know? Not a one of us want to suffer. Even if it's just being upset about something that we saw on TV on the news. Suffer for somebody else. You know? Or our children, or our grandchildren, or our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we're reminded, folks, that people with strong faith
have always suffered and had to have patience. Look at Job. Look at Joseph. Look at King David. Look at Solomon. You know?
They had all the greatness and the splendor, and people have known them for thousands of years, and they hold them in high esteem. But yet they had people murdered. Their children were killed. Their children wanted to kill them.
Folks, all kinds of stress and evil in relationships. All types of suffering.
Folks, we too are going to go through suffering. We too are going to lose loved ones. We too are going to have to go through life not the way we planned. We've got to walk by faith, whatever God has planned for us. And that's going to include suffering and patience as examples.
Sister Bonnie mentioned this morning about some of the things she didn't think she could ever go through or would ever have to go through, but she had to go through. And walking by faith. If you'd ask her again, she said, I don't ever want to go through them again. But if I have to, that's what I would do.
Jesus, even though Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, folks. It's a lot easier going through suffering and working on patience with the help of Christ than on our own. Because here's the neat thing about Jesus. Jesus helps everybody that suffers. Jesus helps everybody with patience. Jesus washes everybody's feet. And that's one of the things we need to be careful. We just don't pick and choose who we're going to be patient with. Have some of us say, my patience has run out with you. I don't want to work with you. I don't want to love you. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to work here anymore. Folks, Jesus never gives up. He never gives up on us. He never gives up on those that seek and say, you know, when I think about asking for Jesus to come again, is that pretty, that's a pretty, even though it's better to be with you than to be down here, but I'm going to be down here, you know, Paul said. But folks, there's a ton of people, there's millions of people that haven't obeyed the gospel, that aren't following Jesus. Their sins aren't washed away. They don't have a hope of heaven yet. So the understanding asking Jesus to come is to have, you know what, I'm ready to go to heaven. That's another way of saying, I'm ready to go to heaven. I recognize that this is not heaven here on earth. But the examples you've given us are the best way to enjoy the life that we have, to accept suffering, to use patience in our life, to show love, to suffer with one another, bear one another's burdens, as it is written. Our last passage in our lesson this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 2. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongly. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his footsteps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Overseer of your souls. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. This is classic, folks. This is classic. How many of us were brothers and sisters, or we got kids or grandkids, and something happens, and we point at the other brother and sister? I didn't do that. Right? Not my fault. Don't blame me. I'll give you an example at work. I'm taking two jobs over, okay, because another gentleman left the company. So I took the responsibility over in that role of those projects. And the owner was not real happy in a meeting last week. So I had to take from the owner of the company, okay? I just took over. I just took over the project with my role. Now, I could have said, don't blame me. I could have said, it's his fault. I could have said, you're all wrong. You don't know what you're talking about.
Instead, I said, your point is well taken. We will get it resolved.
And you know how I did that? Walking by faith. My successes in my business life have all been from following Jesus. My failures in my business life have been times when I didn't use patience, okay? I did say, don't blame me. Here's a list of things they did wrong. No, I'm not hired to wash feet by my employer, but I am commanded to do so by my Lord and Savior. So I need, and Jesus is not going to tell us to do something we can't do no matter where we're at, folks. So I need to recognize and say, God, how can I wash feet and run multi-million dollar projects at the same time and represent this company? Because the world wants me to jump up and down and point people in the eye and write emails saying, you're not doing it right. You know what? They just sat in a meeting and knew they weren't doing it right. Or they skipped the meeting altogether because they didn't want to hear what I took for them. How can we win together? In the church, how can we win together? By following Jesus. By following his example. By washing each other's feet. By taking a servant attitude. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I can do that. I can help. I will help. Because I want to follow you, Jesus. You are my Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I have given you an example. And in the lesson this morning, obviously it's about serving one another, being a pattern of good works, to work, not be idle and busybodies, to do good to one another, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, while we're suffering, to work on patience with one another, to live for righteousness. We can rise above. We can overcome because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He left us that example. I have overcome the world. We too can overcome the world by following him and what he does. We can live for righteousness by following Jesus. If you have a need to respond to the invitation this morning, we offer that. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, have your sins washed away to be able to live for eternity and home with kingdom and heaven with him. We offer that invitation. We also offer an invitation to continue to walk with Jesus and be an example as we've seen in his holy word this morning. If you have a need, please come as we stand and sing a selected hymn this morning.